Osho. When the shoe fits, talks on the stories of Chöntözü. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
When the shoe fit, first lecture, date October 11th, 1974.
Spontaneous forms from nowhere. His mind, meanwhile, was free and without concern with what he was doing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple and knew no obstacle. So, when the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the belt fits, the belly is forgotten. And when the heart is right, for and against is forgotten. No drives, no compulsions, no needs, no attractions. Then your affairs are under control. You are a free man. Easy is right. Begin right, and you are easy. Continue easy, and you are right. The right way to go easy is to forget the right way. And forget that the going is easy.
Chöntözü is one of the rarest flowers, rarer than a Buddha or Jesus, because Buddha and Jesus emphasize effort, and Chöntözü emphasizes effortlessness. Much can be done through effort, but more than that can be done through effortlessness. Much can be achieved through will, but much more can be achieved through willlessness. And whatsoever you achieve through will, will always remain like a burden on you. It will always be a conflict, an inner tension, and you can lose it any moment. It has to be maintained continuously, and the maintenance takes energy, and the maintenance finally dissipates you. Only that which is attained through effortlessness will never be a burden to you. And only that which is not a burden can be eternal. That which is not in any way unnatural can remain with you forever and forever. Chöntözü says that the real, the divine, the existential, is to be attained by losing yourself completely in it. Even the effort to attain it becomes a barrier, then you cannot lose yourself. Even the effort to lose becomes the barrier. How can you make any effort to lose yourself? Because all effort is born out of the ego. And through all effort, ego is strengthened. And the ego is the disease. So all effort has to be left completely. Nothing is to be done. One has to lose himself completely into the existential. One has to become again like a small child, just born, not knowing what is right, not knowing what is wrong, not knowing any distinctions. Once distinctions enter, once you know this is right and that is wrong, you are already ill, and you are far away from the reality. a child lives naturally. He is total. He does not make any effort, because effort says you are fighting with yourself. A part of you is for and a part of you is against, hence the effort. You can achieve much, remember, particularly in this world, you can achieve much through effort, because effort is aggression, effort is violence, effort is competition. But in the other world, nothing can be achieved through effort. And those who proceed from effort, finally, they have also to drop it. Buddha worked for 6 years, continuously meditating, concentrating. He became an ascetic. He did all that can be done by a human being. Not a single stone was left unturned. He staked his whole being, but it was an effort. The ego was there. He failed. Nothing fails like the ego in the ultimate. Nothing succeeds like the ego in this world. In the world of matter, nothing succeeds like the ego. In the world of consciousness, nothing fails like that. The case is just the opposite. And it has to be so, because the dimension is just the opposite. Buddha failed absolutely. After 6 years, he was completely frustrated. And when I say completely, I mean completely. Not even a single fragment of hope remained. He became absolutely hopeless. In that hopelessness, he dropped all effort. The world he has already dropped before. The kingdom he has left already. All that belongs to this visible world, he had left, renounced. Now, after 6 years of strenuous effort, he left all that belongs to the other world also. He was in a complete vacuum, empty. That night he slept a different quality of sleep, because there was no ego. A different quality of silence, because there was no effort. A different quality of being that night happened to him, because there was no dream. If there is no effort, nothing is incomplete. There is no need for a dream. A dream is always to complete something. Which has remained incomplete in the day will be completed in the dream. Because mind has a tendency to complete everything. If it is not complete, then the mind is always uneasy. And effort is doing many things and they remain incomplete, the dream is needed. When there is desire, dreaming is bound to be there, because desiring is a dreaming. Dream is just a shadow of desiring. That night, when there was nothing to be done, this world was already useless, now the other world is also useless. All motivation to move ceased. There was nowhere to go. And there was no one to go anywhere. That sleep that night became samadhi. That became satori. That became the ultimate thing that can happen to a man. Buddha flowered that night. In the morning, he was enlightened. He opened his eyes, looked at the last star disappearing in the sky, and everything was there. It had always been there, but he was so much after it, he couldn't see it. It has been always there, but he was so much moving into the future with the desire, he could not look at the here and now. That night, There was no desire, no goal, nowhere to go, no one to go. All effort ceased. Suddenly he became aware of himself. Suddenly he became aware of the reality as it is. Chantasu says from the very beginning, don't make any effort. And he is right, because you never make such total effort as Buddha. You will never be so frustrated that the effort drops by itself. It will always be incomplete, and your mind will always go on saying a little more, and the thing is going to happen. Just a little more, a step more, and the goal is near. Why are you getting dejected? Just a little effort is more, and the goal is coming every day nearer. Because you never make so absolute an effort, you will never be completely hopeless, and you can continue this half-hearted effort for many lives. That's how you have been doing in the past. You are not here for the first time before me. You are not here for the first time making some effort to realize the true, the real. You have done it many, many times, million times in the past. But you are still hopeful. Chantasu says it is better to drop it in the beginning. It has to be dropped. Either you drop it in the beginning, or you will have to drop it in the end. But the end may not come soon. So two are the ways. Either make total effort, so total that all hope is shattered. You come to realize that nothing can be achieved through effort. Not even a single small fragment somewhere in the unconscious is still lingering and saying, do a little more and this will be achieved. Either do total effort, then it drops by itself, or don't do it at all. Just understand the whole thing. Don't move into it at all. Remember one thing, you cannot come out of it if it is incomplete. Once entered, it has to be completed. Because the mind has a tendency to complete everything. Not only human mind, even animals. If you draw a half circle, incomplete, and a gorilla comes and sees it and the chalk is there, he will immediately complete it. You, mind as such, has a tendency to complete. Anything incomplete gives you tension. If you wanted to laugh and you could not, there will be tension. If you wanted to cry and could not, there will be tension. If you wanted to be angry and could not, there will be tension. That's how you have become a long illness. Everything incomplete. You never laughed totally. You never cried totally. You never were angry totally. You never hated totally. You never loved totally. Nothing has been done incomplete. Everything. Nothing total. It lingers on. And then there are many things on your mind always. That's why you are so much ill at ease. You can never feel at home. Chantasu says, it is better not to start. Once you start, it has to be completed. Understand, and don't move in the vicious circle. That's why I say, Chantasu is a rare flowering, rarer than a Buddha or a Jesus. Because simply by understanding he achieved. There is no method, no meditation for Chantasu. He says simply understand the facticity of it. You are born. What effort you have made to be born. You grow. what effort you have done to grow. You breathe. What effort you are doing to breathe. Everything moves on its own. Then why bother? Then let life flow on its own. Then you be in a let go. Then don't struggle. Then don't try to move upstream. Not even to swim. Just flow with the current. And let the current lead you wherever it leads. Be a white cloud moving in the sky. No goal. Nowhere going. Just floating. And that floating is the ultimate flowering. So the first thing to understand about Chantazu before we enter in his sutras is be natural. Everything unnatural has to be avoided. Don't do anything that is unnatural. Nature is enough. You cannot improve upon it. But the ego says, no. You can improve. That's how all culture exists. An effort to improve nature is culture. And all culture is like a disease. More a man is cultured, the more dangerous. I have heard one hunter, one European hunter, was lost in a forest in Africa. Suddenly he came upon few herds. He has never heard that a village existed in that thick forest. It was not on any map. So he asked the chief of the village and he said, this is a pity that you are lost to civilization. The chief said, no, that's not a pity. We are always afraid of being discovered. Once civilization comes in, we are lost. Nature is lost. Once you make effort to improve it, that means you are trying to improve upon God. All religions are trying to do that. Improving upon God. Chantazu is not in favor of that. He said nature is ultimate. That ultimate nature he calls Tao. Tao means that nature is ultimate and it cannot be improved. And if you try to improve it, you will cripple it. That's how we cripple every child. Every child is born in Tao. Then society, civilization, culture. Then morality, religion. And we cripple him from everywhere. Then he lives, but not alive. One small girl, I have heard, was going to a dance, to a party, some birthday party of a friend, very small, just 4 years old. She asked her mother that were there such parties and dances when you were alive? The more cultured, civilized, the more dead. If you want to see a perfectly dead man and is still alive, then go to the monks in the monasteries. Go to the priests in the churches. Go to the Pope of the Vatican. They are not alive. They are so afraid of life, so afraid of nature, they have suppressed it from everywhere. they are already in their graves. You can paint the grave. You can even make a marble grave, very valuable. But the man inside is dead. In a graveyard, a drunkard was passing, and he saw a beautiful grave made of pure white marble. He looked at the grave, looked at the name. The grave was the famous Rothschild. He laughed and said, "These Rothschilds, they know how to live." Culture kills you. Culture is a murderer. Culture is a slow poison. It is a suicide. Chuang Tzu and his old master Lao Tzu, they are against culture. They are for nature, pure nature. Trees are in a better position than you, even birds, fishes in the river, are in a better position because more alive, more dancing to the rhythm of nature. You have completely forgotten what nature is. You have condemned it to the very root. And if you want to condemn nature, you have to start by condemning sex, because the whole nature arises out of it. The whole nature is an overflowing of sex energy, of love. The birds sing, the trees flower. This is all sexual energy exploding. Flowers are sex symbols, and the singing of the birds is sexual. The whole Tao is nothing but sex energy. Whole nature propagates itself. Love itself moves into deeper ecstasies of love and existence. If you want to destroy nature, condemn sex, condemn love, create moral concepts around life, and those moral concepts, howsoever beautiful they look, they will be like marble graves. Inside you will be there. Some drunkard may think that you know what life is, how to live. But anyone who is in his awareness cannot call you even alive. Your morality is a sort of death. Before death kills, the society kills you. That's why Chuang Tzu's message is one of the most dangerous. The most revolutionary, most rebellious, because he says, allow nature and don't give any goal to the nature, who you are, to create goals and purposes. You are just a tiny part, an atomic cell. Who you are to force the whole to move according to you? This is most dangerous for people who are religious, for people who are moralistic Puritans. This is the most dangerous message. That means break all the barriers, allow nature to erupt. Dangerous it is. I have heard one head nurse in a hospital was introducing a new nurse just from the college. So she was taking her around the hospital to show her She introduced, this is a cancer ward and this is a tuberculosis ward and others and others. And then she came to a big hall and she said, look, and remember well, this is the most dangerous ward of all. This is the dangerous ward. The new nurse looked, but she couldn't find what was the danger. So she asked, what is the matter? Why this is the most dangerous ward? Even cancer, you never said that this is a dangerous ward. The old nurse laughed. She said, these people are almost healthy. This is the most dangerous ward. So be alert. Health is always dangerous. Priests are afraid of health because health is immoral in their eyes. You may not have heard, or you may have heard, one of the thinkers of this century, a German thinker, very famous in those days, was Count Kesselring. He has written in his diary, and he was thought to be a religious philosopher. He has written in his diary that health is the most immoral thing. Because health is energy. And energy is delight. And energy is enjoyment. And energy is love. And energy is sex. And energy is everything that is natural. Destroy the energy. Make it feeble and dim. Hence so many fasts just to destroy the energy. Just not to allow the energy so much that it starts overflowing. Religious people have always thought that health is dangerous. Then to be unhealthy becomes a spiritual goal. I repeat again, Chantasu is very rebellious. He says nature, energy, and the ecstasy that comes by overflowing, and the balance that happens is spontaneously. There is no need, because if so much beauty can happen all around in nature without any effort, a rose can be so beautiful without any effort. A cuckoo can go on singing without any effort. Look at a deer, alive, energy, fast. Look at a hare, so alert that even a Buddha may become jealous. So aware. Look at nature, everything is so perfect. Can you improve upon a rose? Can you improve on nature in any way? Just man has gone somewhere wrong. If the rose is beautiful without any effort on its part, why not a man? What is wrong with man? If stars remain beautiful without any effort, without any Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, why not a man? Man is part of nature. Just as the stars are. So Lao Tzu says, be natural and you will flower. If this understanding enters in you deeper and deeper and deeper, then all effort becomes meaningless. Then you are not constantly making arrangements for the future. Then you live here and now. Then this moment is all. Then this moment is eternity. And Buddhahood is already the case. You are already a Buddha. The only thing that is missing, you have not given it any chance to flower. You are so much engaged with your own projects a flower flowers without any effort, because the energy is not dissipated in any projects. The flower is not planning for the future. The flower is here and now. Be like a flower, be like a bird, be like a tree or a river or the ocean, but don't be like a man. Because man has gone somewhere wrong. Nature, and to be natural, effortlessly natural, spontaneously natural, that is the essence of all the teaching that Chantasu is going to give to you. Now we will enter his sutra. Listen to every word as deeply as possible, because your mind will create barriers. Your mind will not allow you to listen, because the mind is society within you. Society is very cunning. It is not only outside you. It has penetrated within you. That is what your mind is. And that is why all those who know are against the mind and for the nature. Because mind is an artificial thing implanted on you by the society. So when you will listen to Chantasu, your mind will create barriers. Your mind will not like to listen because it is so against the mind. If you allow it, if you put aside your mind and allow it to penetrate you, the very listening will become meditation. The very listening will transform you. There is no other thing to be done. Just the listening. Chantasu believes in understanding, not in meditation. And if I say you have to do meditations, that's only because I feel understanding is so difficult for you. Meditation will not lead you to the goal. No method can lead you to the goal. There exists no method, no technique. But meditation will help you only to understand. It will not lead you to the truth, it will only destroy the mind. So whenever there is truth, you can see it. Chui, the draftsman, could draw more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. Chantasu talks about a draftsman of the name Chui, who could draw more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. Really, the compass is needed because you are afraid. If you are not afraid, you can yourself draw a perfect circle without any help. In nature, everywhere, circle exists. Everything moves on a circular path. Circle is the easiest phenomena in nature. And no compass is there. The stars don't consult a map. They don't carry a compass. And they go on moving in a circle. And if you give them compass and maps, I am certain they will be lost. Then they will not know where to go and what to do. You must have heard the story of a centipede. A centipede walks with 100 legs. A frog, a philosopher, asked the centipede. He looked and watched and he was very much troubled. It is so difficult to walk even with 4 legs. And this centipede is walking with 100 legs. This is a miracle. And how this centipede decides which leg to move first and then which, and 100 legs. So the frog stopped the centipede and asked one question. I am a philosopher and I am puzzled by you. A problem has arisen which I cannot solve. How you walk? How you manage it at all? It seems impossible. The centipede said, I have been walking all my life, but I have not thought about it. Now that you say and ask, I will think, and then I will tell you. For the first time, thought entered into centipede's consciousness. Really, the frog was right. Which leg to move first? The centipede stood there for a few minutes, couldn't move, wobbled and fell down. And he said to the frog that, please, don't ask this question to another centipede. I have been walking all along my life and it was never a problem, and now you have killed me completely. I cannot move. 100 legs to move. How to manage? Life moves in a perfect circle. Life moves perfectly. There is no problem. About Chui, says Chantazu, he could draw more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. You need a compass because you are not confident of life. You need moralities, precepts, principles, Bibles, Qurans, Gitas to direct you, because you are not confident of the inner force that is your life. And these Bibles, Qurans and Gitas, they have created the same situation for you that was created by the frog for the centipede. So many precepts to be followed, so many principles to be managed, so many moral concepts. You have so many things imposed on you, the inner life cannot be spontaneous. You go astray. Not because of any evil force, but because of the do-gooders. It is not a devil which is leading you towards wrong. It is your priests, your leaders, your so-called saints. This is very difficult, because easy to understand that some devil is there. So you throw all the responsibility on the devil. There is no devil, I tell you. And that's what Chantazu says. Chantazu says there is no God, there is no devil, only life exists. Priests create the God, and priests create the devil. Because priests create the distinction between wrong and right. And once the distinction enters your mind, you will never be right. Nature is right. Once the distinction enters that this is wrong and that is right, you will never be right and you will be never at ease. You will never feel relaxed. You will be always tense. And whatsoever you do will be wrong. Because the distinction creates confusion. The whole life is so silent and meditative. Why? So much effort is needed for you. The distinction is there. The draftsman could draw more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. If you are not self-conscious, your life moves automatically. That compass is self-consciousness. You do anything with self-consciousness and you will be in trouble. You talk. The whole day you go on chatting with friends. There is no problem. And if I ask you to come here and talk from this chair to these friends who have gathered here, you will be in the same position as the centipede. And you have been talking your whole life, and there was never a problem. Why this problem comes in? The problem comes because now you are self-conscious. Now so many persons looking at you, watching you. Now you cannot be at ease and spontaneous. Now you project. Now you want to plan. Now you would like that the people should like you. Whatsoever you say, they should be impressed. Now you are self-conscious. Otherwise everybody is a talker, a born talker. People go on talking, there is never a problem. But once you put them on a pulpit and tell them to talk to your audience, something goes wrong. What goes wrong? Nothing has changed, but self-consciousness has entered. And self-consciousness is the problem. His fingers brought forth spontaneous forms from nowhere. His mind, meanwhile, was free and without concern with what he was doing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple and knew no obstacles. His fingers brought forth spontaneous forms from nowhere. Nowhere means everywhere. Nowhere means the ultimate void. Nowhere means the ultimate source, the very ground of life. From where you are breathing so perfectly. Chuang-tzu says you are not breathing, it breathes you rather. You are not breathing because what you are doing about it? Nothing. This is a false notion that I am breathing. Better it would be to say that the nature, it, breathes me. Then the whole gestalt changes. Then the whole emphasis is on the nature, not on you, not on the ego, but it, the vast, the infinite, that surrounds you, the ground, the very ground, it breathes me. When you fall in love, really you fall in love, or it falls in love through you? When you are angry, you are angry, because when there is anger, you are not. When there is love, you are not. In anger, in love, in any passionate emotion, you are not. In anything alive, you disappear. Then it exists. Then the Tao. So a man of Tao is one who has come to understand that I is the most useless thing. It only creates problems and nothing else. So he drops it. Really, there is no need to drop it. Once he understands, it drops. There is no I. Then he lives. Then he eats. Then he loves. Then he sleeps. But there is no I. It lives through him. Then there is no burden and no tension and no anxiety. Then he becomes a child. Then his mind is free, without concern. You cannot do anything without concern. Whatsoever you do, the ego comes in and that the concern comes in and anxiety is there. Look at a phenomenon. A surgeon operates and he is a perfect surgeon. But if on the operation table his wife is there, but if on the operation table his wife is there, he cannot operate. Then his hand trembles. Otherwise, he works like a perfect mechanism. But the wife is on the table, then he cannot operate. Then some other surgeon is needed. What has happened? The concern has entered. With other patients, there was no concern. He was detached. He was not concerned this way or that. He was simply a surgeon, a natural force working. The mind was not there. He was perfect. But now the wife is there, the concern has entered whether the operation will succeed or not. Whether I will be able to save my wife or not. Now, the problem is there, the mind has a concern, then the hand trembles. Your whole life is trembling because you have been carrying so many concerns. And then you cannot draw a perfect circle. Whatever you write, there is a science to read your writing and throw it to your mind. It has a definite base to it. Because if you sign, your trembling enters into it. And when you sign your name, then you are most concerned. Then your trembling is there. And with a magnifying glass, that trembling can be observed, can be detected. And that trembling can so much about you. Because whatsoever you are doing, it must carry you. Somehow, it must carry indications about you. Just by seeing your handwriting, much can be known about your personality. If a Buddha signs, it is going to be absolutely different. There will be no trembling, because there is no concern. And even through the signature, it can be said that this belongs to a Buddha or not. And whatsoever you do, your trembling follows you like a shadow. Who is creating this trembling? And you come to me and you say that I am not at peace. The mind is not silent. How it can be? Unless you drop your concern. You want your mind to be stilled, your mind to be made silent, clear, transparent, without dropping the concern. It is impossible, because the trembling will be there. Only thing that can be done without changing your concern is to suppress all trembling inside. So if you watch, you will feel on the surface everything is blessed, calm. But deep down you are trembling, continuously trembling. Deep down a fear and trembling continues. That is born out of concern. What is the concern? That how others are impressed. But why you are so much worried about others? So much worried that you cannot live at all. Everybody is thinking how others are thinking about him. And the same is the case with others. They are worried about you and you are worried about them. Once it happened, Mullah Nasruddin was passing. It was a lonely path and the sun had set and darkness was descending. Suddenly he felt fear because few people were coming with a band, and he thought these must be the dacoits, the robbers, and there is nobody else here, only I am. So he jumped the wall that was just near and he found himself in a graveyard. A newly dug grave was there, so he went into it, somehow calmed himself, closed his eyes and waited. So these people pass and he will go home. But those people have also seen that somebody was there, suddenly he jumped. They also became afraid, what is the matter? Somebody hiding there or something mischievous doing? So they all jumped. When they jumped, Mullah was certain that I was right. I inferred right, these are the dangerous people, now nothing can be done, so I must pretend that I am dead. So he pretended, he stopped his breathing. Because you cannot rob or kill a dead man. Those people, they had seen this man jump, they became very much worried what he is doing. So they came around, they looked in the, and they said, what is the idea? What are you doing? Why are you here? So Mullah opened his eyes, looked at them, felt certain that there is no danger, laughed, and he said, no, this is a trouble, a very philosophical problem. You ask me why I am here, and I would like to ask why you are here. I am here because of you, and you are here because of me, and it is a vicious circle. You are afraid of others, others are afraid of you, and the whole life becomes a mess. Drop out of this nonsense, drop out of this vicious circle, don't be concerned with others. Your life is enough, don't be concerned with others. And I tell you, if you can live unconcerned, your life will flower and then others can share in it, you would like to share, and you can give much to others. But first you must stop thinking about others, what they are thinking about you. This aboutism is very dangerous. Nobody is at ease, nobody is at home because of others. Everybody is chasing everybody else and life has become a hell. His fingers brought forth spontaneous forms from nowhere. His mind meanwhile was free and without concern with what he was doing. Don't be concerned what you are doing. Do it so wholeheartedly that the very doing becomes a bliss. And don't think of great things. There is nothing like great or small. Don't think that you are to do great things, great music, great paintings, you are to become a Picasso or Van Gogh or something else, a great writer, a Shakespeare or Milton. There are nothing. No great things, no small things. There are great men and small men, but things are not great and small. And a great man is one who brings his greatness to every small thing that he is doing. He eats in a great way. He walks in a great way. He sleeps in a great way. He brings the quality of greatness to everything. And what is greatness? Nature. Nothing is greater than nature. Eat like an emperor. That doesn't depend on the quality of food. That depends on the eater, the way he celebrates it. Even with just bread, butter and salt, you can be an emperor. It happened. Epicurus had a garden in just near Athens. He was also one of the rarest men, just like Chantas. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in anything, because belief is nonsense. Only foolish people believe. A man of understanding has faith, not belief. And faith is different. Faith means trusting life. Trusting so absolutely that one is ready to go with it anywhere. He had a small garden and he lived with his disciples there. And people thought that he is an atheist, immoral. He does not believe in God, does not believe in his scriptures, does not believe in any temple. He is an atheist. But he lived in such a great way, super, magnificent was his life, with nothing, because they were very poor. The king heard about them and he wanted to see how they live and how they can be happy without belief. You cannot be happy even with a belief in God. So how these people can be happy without God? So he came one evening to visit Epicurus' garden. He was really surprised, amazed. It was a miracle. They had nothing, almost nothing. But they lived like emperors, like gods they lived. Their whole life was a celebration. When they will go to the stream to take their bath, it was not simply a bath, it was a dance with the river. It was getting in tune with the river. They sang and they danced and they swam and they jumped and they died. Their eating was a celebration, a feast, and they had nothing. Just bread and salt, not even butter. But they felt so thankful that just to be was enough. Nothing more is needed. The emperor was very much impressed and he asked Epicurus that next time when I come, I would like to bring some gifts for you. What you would like? Epicurus said, give us time to think, because we never thought that anybody is going to give us gifts, and we have so many gifts from nature. But if you insist, then bring a little butter. Nothing else, just that will do. Life can become a celebration if you know how to live without concern. Otherwise, life becomes a long, prolonged disease and illness which only culminates into death. His mind, meanwhile, was free and without concern with what he was doing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple and knew no obstacles. You need to learn everything. Because you have forgotten your nature completely. Now, psychologists are proposing that there must be training for love. Because people are by and by forgetting how to love. Much literature has come into existence the art of love, how to love. People have even completely forgotten sexual orgasm, sexual ecstasy. No animal needs any training. Even trees seem to be more intelligent than you. Everything has to be taught. Even the very basic of life has to be taught. That means somehow we are uprooted. We have lost contact with nature. A gap exists. And if you are taught how to love, your love is going to be false. Real love should be spontaneous. How you can be taught to love? And if you taught, then you will act according to the rules. And the natural flow will not be there. The nature flows not according to your rules. It has its own rules. You have simply to be with it and it starts functioning. The day is not very far when we will have to teach people how to breathe. Right now, you laugh about it. But if you go back and you ask Epicurus that will there be a time when people will have to be taught how to achieve orgasm, he would have laughed, because animals achieve it without any teaching. No masters and no Johnsons are needed. No Kinsey report is needed. They simply love. Love happens naturally. Now, there are clinics in the United States where they teach how to achieve orgasm. And if through learning and training you achieve orgasm, remember well, that is not the real thing, then you are manipulating it. Then you are controlling it. Then somehow you are forcing it. And orgasm happens only in a let go. And a let go cannot be taught. You cannot teach people how to go to sleep. And if you teach, you will disturb their sleep. Because if they try anything, that will be a disturbance. You simply go to sleep. You simply put your head on the pillow and go to sleep. If you do something, then that very doing will be the undoing. And life is just like sleep. Life is just like breathing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple and knew no obstacles. When your mind is clear, it has a clarity, you need not follow any rules. You need not carry any scriptures in the head. You simply look, everything is transparent because you are clear. So when the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the belt fits, the belly is forgotten. And when the heart is right, far and against are forgotten. Remember, this is one of the greatest mantras. When the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. Whenever you are healthy, you don't know anything about your body. The body is forgotten. When there is some illness, only then you cannot forget the body. Do you know any head without headache? When there is headache, you cannot forget the head. Then the shoe is pinching. Then it doesn't fit. When you don't have any headache, where is the head? you completely forget it. Whatsoever is healthy is forgotten. Whatsoever is ill is remembered. It becomes a continuous note in the mind, a continuous tension in the mind. A perfect man of Tao does not know himself. You know, because you are ill. Ego is illness, substantial illness, because continuously you have to remember that you are somebody. This shows that you are in a deep disease. Disease creates the ego. A perfectly healthy, natural being forgets completely. He is like a cloud, like a breeze, like a rock, like a tree, like a bird, but never like a man. He is not, because only illness, like a wound, has to be remembered. Remembering is a mechanism for safety and security. If there is a thorn in your feet, you have to remember the mind will go continuously again and again to the spot, because the thorn has to be thrown out. If you forget it, the thorn will remain there and it will be dangerous. It may poison the whole body. When there is headache, the body says, remember it, something has to be done. If you forget it, that headache may become dangerous. The body shows you whenever there is something ill, something wrong, the body attracts your attention. But when the body is healthy, you forget it. You become bodiless when the body is healthy, and this is the only definition of health. Health is when there is no consciousness of the body. If there is any sort of consciousness of the body, then that part is not healthy. And the same applies to the mind. When your consciousness is healthy, there is no ego. You don't know anything about yourself. You don't go on reminding yourself that I am something. You simply relax. You are, but there is no I. It is a simple emness, a isness, but there is no I, no crystallized ego. The self is not there. When the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the belt fits, the belly is forgotten. And when the heart is right, for and against are forgotten. This is one of the deepest things to be understood. When the heart is right, all for and against are forgotten. When the heart is wrong, ill, then you go on continuously being burdened, worried. This is right and that is wrong. And the right should be followed and wrong should be avoided. And a whole life becomes a struggle. How to avoid the wrong and how to achieve the right. And this is not the way to achieve the right. This is the way to miss it forever. Look. You have anger, sex, greed. If you say anger is wrong, then your whole life will pass in an angry state. Sometimes you will be angry and sometimes you will be angry against anger. That will be the only difference. Sometimes you will be angry, and when the anger is gone, you will be angry against the anger. This you call repentance. and then you will decide never to be angry again, and you will be angry again, because both states are anger. Sometimes you are angry against someone else, sometimes you are angry against yourself because you were angry. If you are against sex and you say it is wrong, as the whole world has said, then you will be sexual, and after your sexuality has passed, you will feel guilty. And in that guilt, you will ponder and think about sex again and again. It will become cerebral. So sometimes you will be physically sexual and sometimes cerebrally sexual. Sometimes sexual in the body and sometimes sexual in the mind. Once you make a distinction, once you make a conflict, you will be divided. Once I was staying with Mullah Nasruddin, a woman, a widow, a very beautiful widow came to see him for his advice. And she said that I am in a trouble and you have to help me. I am in love with a very handsome man, younger than me, but he is poor. And one old man, ugly. He is in love with me, but very, very rich. So what should I do? To whom should I marry? Mullah Nasruddin closed his eyes, pondered and said, marry the rich man and be good to the poor. But this is how all conflict arises. This is how you choose both the alternatives. Then you will be divided. Whenever you say this is right and that is wrong, you are already divided. And now the whole life will be a conflict. From this polarity to the other, you will move like a pendulum. Don't be against anything. Why? Because whenever you are against anything, it means deep down you are for it. Otherwise, why be against? A man who is not deep down angry will not be against anger. Why? A man who is not greedy deep down will not be against greed. Why he should be against? There is no problem for him. It is not a choice. He has not made any distinction. Always greedy persons are against greed. Remember, sexual persons are against sex, angry persons against anger, violent persons against violence. Then what they do? They create an opposite goal. If you are violent, non-violence will become the goal. And how a violent man can become non-violent? What he will do? Only one possibility is there. He will be violent against himself, that's all. What he can do? A violent man, how he can be non-violent? An angry person, how he can be without anger? And if an angry person cultivates non-anger, in his non-anger also will be anger. Because you cannot cultivate anything without entering into it. And the angry person will enter into his non-anger. A violent person into his non-violence. If you look around, if you watch rightly, you cannot find more violent people than those who have non-violence as their goal. And you cannot find more sexual, pervertedly sexual people who have Brahmacharya celibacy as their goal. Chantazu says, don't make distinctions, otherwise you will be divided. Once divided, you are too split. And a person who is split cannot be natural. nature exists in unity. It is a deep harmony. There is no conflict at all. Nature accepts everything. There is no choice. It is a choiceless let go. Don't choose, and this is the miracle. If you don't choose against anger, when anger comes, you are simply angry. Don't choose against anger. When anger comes, be simply angry. And when anger has gone, let it go. Don't repent. Don't let it continue inside the mind. Don't make it a continuity. Don't think against it. When anger comes, it comes. What you can do? When it doesn't come, it doesn't come. You have no choice. Then a miracle happens. You become so alert. Without choice, your energies are so undivided. When energies are undivided, they are so powerful, so tremendous, anger becomes impossible. Because anger is part of weakness. Remember this. The weaker you are, the more angry. The stronger you are, the less angry. If you are absolutely strong, there will be no anger. Remember this. The weaker you are, the more greedy. Really, the weak has to be greedy to protect himself. The stronger you are, the less greedy. When the energy is total in you, not divided, not split, you are a unity. Greed disappears. Because greed belongs to a weak mind, a split mind. And when you are split, there will be anger, and you will fight against it, and more split will be created, and more energy dissipated, and you will become an inner turmoil, anarchy, not a harmonious note. Everything will be out of tune. And the more you will make effort to bring it to a tuning, the more there will be trouble, because you have missed the first step and you will go on missing to the very last. The first step is that when the heart is right, far and against are forgotten. So what to do? Forget far and against and let the heart settle. One thing is certain. You have been fighting against anger, but still you are angry. So try Chwamtazu also. You are not going to lose anything. You have tried to be non-sexual and you remain sexual. On the contrary, you have become more perverted. Sex has become more poisoned. So try Chwamtazu. You are not going to lose anything. Be sexual when sex comes. Just as when hunger comes, you eat food. When sex comes, be sexual. Don't make any choice. Don't say this is wrong, this is good. Accept it. It is part of nature. And suddenly, the moment will come. When you will be a unity, sex will transform automatically into love. Because a man who is in a unity, try to understand what this unity means. Every man and every woman are bisexual. Every man is man and woman both inside. And every woman is man and woman both inside. No one is simply man and woman. Cannot be. Because your one parent was man and another parent was woman. And you carry both within you. Half-half. Half your father and half your mother is carried within you. So you are both male and female. Half-half. This is the deep split. And if you create more split, this split will widen more and more. Drop all splits. Don't create any fight. Don't choose. Be angry and accept it. Be sexual and accept it. Be greedy and accept it. What can you do? Nature has given these things to you. So you accept them and their consequences, of course. If you are angry, then somebody will be angry. Accept the anger and the consequences. Then your split drops, and by your inner bisexuality becomes a harmony, a circle is created. An inner orgasm happens. Your female and your male meet inside. And when they meet inside, you have become one. Now a new being is born. This oneness has love as its shadow. You cannot love. Your love is a facet, a deception. Your love is just a trick. Your love is just to attain sex. That's why when you attain sex, love disappears. Once you have been in a sexual intercourse with a woman or a man, love has disappeared. Again, after 24 hours, energy will come, you will accumulate energy, there will be sex again, you will become loving again. So love is just a means to have sex. That's why you cannot love your own wife or husband. Very difficult. How to love? The need has disappeared. Love is just a courting, just a foreplay to persuade the other person for sex. For a wife or a husband, no persuasion is needed. They are taken for granted. A husband can demand, a wife can demand. There is no need to persuade. So love disappears. There is no need to court. It is almost impossible to think how a wife can love the husband, how the husband can love the wife. They can only pretend. And that pretension becomes a heavy thing on everybody. Pretending love, then your life feels meaningless. That's why people go on for extramarital relationships. It gives you a little energy again, a little feeling of love, because with the new person you have to court again. You cannot take the other as granted. You have to pursue it. Before you seduce, persuasion will be needed. Your love is just a persuasion. It cannot be otherwise. Because love happens only when you have become a unity, not before it. The word sex is very beautiful. The original root of word sex means division. Sex means division. If you are divided inside, then sex will be there. When you hanker after a woman or man, what is happening? Your one part is hankering to meet the other. But you are trying to meet the other outside. You can meet for a single moment. Again, you will be alone. Because outside there can be no eternal meeting. Sex is bound to be just momentary. Because the other is other. Inside, if you meet your inner woman or man, then the meeting can be eternal. And when all divisions are lost, this meeting happens. This is an alchemical transformation. Your woman and man meet inside, you become one. And when you are one, you will have love. Love is a quality of a Buddha or Christ or a Chuang-tzu. You are just playing with false coins. You cannot love, and if you understand it, the better it is. Because then you will not be befooled, or you will not be befooling others. Once you are a unity, Changdazu has happened to you also. And when the heart is right, far and against are forgotten. No drives, no compulsions, no needs, no attractions, then your affairs are under control. You are a free man. Right now, you have obsessions, compulsions, you have to do certain things. Continuously the body forces, the mind forces to do them. If you don't do, you feel unease. If you do, you feel guilty. There seems to be no way out. If you move into sex, you feel guilty. Something wrong you have done. If you don't move into sex, you feel uneasy. Because the energy gathers where to release that energy. Then the energy moves inside and forces you, compels you. Your life is of compulsions and obsessions. And whatsoever you do, you will be in trouble. Because if you move into sex, you feel frustrated. All dreams are shattered, nothing is achieved. And you have been thinking so much. So much you were projecting. And the real is never in any way equal to that which you were dreaming. The more you dream, the more the actual will be frustrating. And then you feel, why waste energy? And why get into relationship and unnecessary complexities? Because when the other is allowed, he will bring his own problems. So every relationship becomes a burden. It is not a freedom. Because every relationship comes out of compulsions. Only a man whose heart is at ease, one who has become a unity, is a free man. That doesn't mean that he will go to the Himalayas, escape to Tibet. No. He will be here, but he will be here with a different quality. He will love. He will have compassion. Relationships will be there, but he will remain free. No relationship comes out of obsession. It is just his sharing. He shares his being. He has too much. He gives it. And if you accept his gift, he feels deeply grateful to you. Look, your love is just a technique to reach to sex. His love is not to achieve anything. His love is not to get anything from you. His love is just a sharing. He has it. He has so much, he gives you. And the more he gives, the more it grows. His being moves in a different dimension. Just look. Go into the garden and see. If flowers are left on the plants, then more flowers will not come. I have been observing it. I have never allowed anybody to pluck flowers. But if on a rose bush 5 flowers have come and you don't pluck them, no more will come. And those 5 will soon die. If you pluck 5, 10 will come. If you pluck 10, 20 will come. The more you pluck, the more flowers the tree will give you. The same is the case when you are a unity. You have become a flowering tree. The more you give, the more you find they are coming. The more you share, the more you grow in it. Bliss grows higher and higher. Ecstasy goes deeper and deeper, shared. Unshared, everything dies. but the bases don't be for and against, then you will be a free man. If he is right for you, just the opposite is the case. You always choose the difficult, because difficult gives you a challenge, and challenge gives you the ego. Difficult is right for you. Easy is never right, because with the easy there is no conquering. The ego cannot feel fulfilled. Difficult a task, the ego feels exhilarated, ecstatic. It has to be done. Everest has to be conquered. Moon has to be conquered. Somebody asked Edmund Hillary, who reached to the Everest, that why? Why so much effort? Because for 100 years, man has been trying and trying, and many have died. They never came back. Why this desire to reach to the Everest, and what is there? Nothing is there. For 100 years, many people simply died, lost their lives, never came back. But again, every year, a group will cry. And this is beautiful, that no Indian has ever bothered. And the Everest is in India. No Tibetan has ever bothered. And the Everest is on the boundary of the Tibet. Why? From the West, every year come groups. When Edmund Hillary reached and he came back, he was asked, why? He said, because Everest is there, and unless it is conquered, we cannot feel easy. It remains there unconquered, a challenge to the ego. Just because it is there, it has to be conquered. The difficult attracts. More difficult it is, it attracts you more. It becomes more valuable, because through it, if you conquer, you will achieve a greater ego. Even if you fail, you will achieve a greater ego, because you at least tried while others have not tried at all. With the easy, if you achieve, nothing is achieved, because the ego cannot feel greater. And if you fail, much is lost, because everybody will say such an easy thing and you couldn't achieve. Ego always is attracted magnetically to the difficult. And easy is right. So ego never is attracted towards the right, it is always attracted towards the wrong. A person becomes a criminal because crime is difficult. A person becomes a politician because politics is difficult. A person becomes mad after money because money is difficult. Anything that is difficult, and people will get mad after it. Not that anything is achieved, just because it was there, like an Everest, a challenge, it has to be conquered. Look at your successful people who have succeeded. Look at them. What they have attained. They may have reached to the Everest, okay, but there is nothing. One has to come back. Look at your presidents, prime ministers, your Rockefellers,
what they have achieved. Nothing. They know deep down that they have achieved nothing. But one thing they have done, the most difficult thing they have done. History will remember them. History always remembers foolish people. Because fools make history and fools write it. Chantazu makes no history. Because easy is the right. So how you can make history with easy? If you conquer a war and kill millions of people, you make history. If you just brush your teeth in the morning, how can you make history? And easy is the right. You take a bath and you sing a little song. How can you make a history? You eat your food and you silently go to sleep without any dreams. How can you make a history? No. History takes no notice of persons who are easy and natural. History takes notice of people who are mad, obsessed with something, who create trouble in some way or other way. And difficult is the wrong. Easy is right. Be easy. And don't try to be in history. Leave it for fools and mad people. You just be outside it. Because you cannot have both. Either you can have life or you can be in the history. If you have life, you will be such an easy and simple man. Doing simple and small things and enjoying. You will not create any trouble for anybody. Nobody will take notice of you. You will exist as if you never existed. That is what easy is. Existing as if you are not existing. Existing as if you are not. Not in anyone's way. Nobody will know about you, but there is no need. You will enjoy, you will attain to the highest peak of ecstasy. Easy is the right. Easy is right. Begin right and you are easy. And this is the criterion. Do anything, and if you feel easy in it, it is right. If you feel uneasy in it, something is wrong. If you are tense, it means you are living an uneasy life. If you cannot sleep, cannot relax, cannot let go, it shows you are living an uneasy life. You are after difficult things, impossible things. Change your style of life. You are on the wrong path. Begin right and you are always easy. Begin right and you are always at rest. That is the criterion. So always look what happens, whatsoever you do. If you become peaceful, if you are restful, at home, relaxed, it was right. This is the criterion. Nothing else is the criterion. What is right for you may not be right for somebody else. Remember that too. Because what is easy for you may not be easy for somebody else. Something else may be easy for him. So there can be no universal law about it. Every individual has to work it out for himself. What is easy for you? Then don't listen to the world. Because there are people who would like to impose their laws on you. these people are enemies, they are criminals. Nobody who has understood life will like to impose anything on you. He will simply help you to be easy, so that you can find what is right for you. Continue easy and you are right. And then live in such a way that you are always easy. Just like a small child, sleeping happily, eating happily, dancing, bubbling with energy happily. Just easy. Remember, nobody will take notice of you, or even people may think you are mad. Because if you are serious, they think you are valuable. If you go on laughing and if you make your life a fun, they think you are a fool. Let them think. You be a fool, but be easy. Don't be a wise man and uneasy, because no wisdom can flower in an uneasy life. That wisdom is false. It is borrowed. Be easy, and it is not difficult to be easy. Once you understand, then you can find your path. Continue easy and you are right. Beautiful is Chantasu. Incomparable is Chantasu. Unique is Chantasu. Because he says, continue easy and you are right. He doesn't say, be non-violent, then you are right. Be truthful, then you are right. Don't be angry, otherwise you will be wrong. Don't be sexual, no nothing. He says, be easy. And continue easy, and you are right. And then you choose your own path. He gives you the essence, not particular directions, but just a universal truth. The right way to go easy is to forget the right way. Because if you are too much concerned with the right way, you will become uneasy. So even with Chuang Tzu, be easy. Otherwise you will become uneasy. And you are so efficient in becoming uneasy, even Chuang Tzu, you can turn him into a madness. The right way to go easy is to forget the right way. Just forget. Be easy, that's all. And forget that the going is easy. And that too. Otherwise you will become too much attached with easiness. And then easiness also will become a rock on your chest. If you go to Chuang Tzu and say that now I have become easy, he will say, go through this. You are still carrying it. When you are easy, you are easy. No concept, no notion is made out of it. When you are easy, why say it? Why even carry it? Because if you carry it, sooner or later it will become a wound. An easy man is simply easy, forgetful. He does not know that he is easy. He does not know that he is right. He does not know that he is valuable in any way. He simply lives his easiness. And whenever you will come to a person who lives easily his easiness, simply without being aware, you will be able to smell it. Because tension has its own smell, easiness has its own smell. But you may not be impressed by it. You are so tense. You are always impressed by tense people. people who act, people who are sitting on their thrones like statues, then you are impressed. The thing seems so difficult. Are you impressed by a child? Do you look at a child play? Nobody is impressed. Then you cannot be impressed by Chuang Tzu. Then you cannot be impressed by really a easy person. Because he may not make any impact on you. But if you understand, you will smell. A different vibration is around a person who is easy. And how you will feel, what will be the way? The way will be is, near a person who is easy, you will also feel becoming easier, relaxed. A really relaxed man will make you relaxed. A tense man will make you tense. With a man who lives naturally, you will feel that you are at home. He will not force you in any way. He will not try to change you in any way. He will accept you. He will be accepting. And through his acceptance, you can learn acceptance. And if you can accept yourself, nature takes over. And once nature takes over, the ocean is not very far. The river is constantly flowing towards it. Enough for today.